Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Drew. Phone number indeed is 1-800-LOVE-191. And I am delighted to welcome into the studio tonight, Ben Stein.
Honored to be here, Dr. Drew.
Well, it is such a pleasure. Ben is a prolific author, How to Ruin Your Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life, How to Ruin Your Financial Life. And as I recall, all written to try to give something to your son. Isn't that right?
No, actually not. Not at all, as a matter of fact. I've written a lot of things encouraging my son to study harder, but no books yet.
I thought you had said that
my son,
you...
my girls fall madly in love with my son. He doesn't have any problem with love life, and he doesn't really have any investment decisions to make at this stage, so he doesn't have to worry about that. But I'm trying in these books to make people realize what they do wrong to ruin relationships. I'll give you an example, Dr. Drew.
Okay.
I have a friend in Washington, a beautiful young girl, and she's desperate to get married, and she can't understand why she's not married. She's almost 30, and she does things like when she was riding around with me a little while ago, telling me that she hates dogs and because dogs eat poopy. And I love dogs more than anything else in the world.
Oh, I know. Nothing, is your dog with you tonight?
Both of my dogs are with me out in the car, right outside the studio.
Yes.
And so to tell me that who loves dogs, that she thinks dogs are dirty and dogs eat poopy, is the height of insanity and is a perfectly good way to ruin a relationship. In fact, I'm going to write a book or maybe an article, a long article soon called How to Ruin a Perfectly Good Relationship. And that's one way, is to tell someone who loves dogs you think dogs are dirty because they eat poopy. Another good way is to go out on a date with somebody and in the middle of the date say, you know, I like you a lot, but and I'll have sex with you, but I'm really madly in love with the guy I was dating just before you because he treated me really, really bad, and that made me fall in love with him. And
that's not good.
A good way to ruin the relationship.
I see a lot of that.
I
kind of thought How to Ruin Your Life, it sort of sounds like sort of paternalistic to a son. You know, it sounds
No, it's really not aimed at him. It's aimed at grown-ups, a lot of grown-ups that I know.
But by the way, a lot of grown-ups, of course, can be benefited from that. You know,
My son is a special case. He's so incredibly good-looking and physically fit that he sort of defies categorization because he's so smart and so physically fit that things come too easily to him, and I think it's not enough of a challenge. But anyway, I don't want to talk about my son. My son has a bad cold, and I want him to go to sleep and get a good night's sleep.
It's amazing what springs from one's loins.
Well, now, my son is an incredibly, unbelievably smart kid. He's really too smart for me.
Nice. Now, I was reading something about your bio. And by the way, if people want to learn more about Ben Stein, it's www.benstein.com. Can they buy the books there?
They can buy them on a place that they may have heard of called Amazon.com.
What's that again?
BarnesandNoble.com,
okay.
I'd be honored if they did, especially How to Ruin Your Love Life. That would be a good one for people listening to this show.
But I read that you had been mugged by two gunmen in 2000. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, we were having our house in Beverly Hills renovated, and I pulled in after doing an episode of Win Ben Stein's Money, or actually four episodes, and I noticed as I got out of the car that two guys were walking into the garage, and I thought they were workmen who were working on the house.
Oh my God.
Then I noticed they were wearing masks.
Oh my God.
I noticed one of them had a gun.
Oh.
And he said, "Give me your wallet." And I did. And he said, "Give me your watch." And I did. And then I said, "Please don't take my car because it has my dog in it." I said, "But you can have the car as long as you don't take the dog." So then he said, "Get in the car and just stare straight ahead," which I did, and then they went away. But, at one point they said to me, "You don't sound scared enough."
And
I said, "Believe me, I'm plenty scared." And they said, "Well, you don't sound scared." And I said, "Well, I am scared. What would you like me to do to show that I'm scared? I'm scared." Anyway, and so then I went inside the house after they left to tell my wife, and she started laughing.
Oh, my God.
I know. Well, my wife is fearless. To her, it's nothing. She has no fear of physical danger.
You sound pretty fearless, too, though.
No, I'm totally fearful.
What?
Have you ever been robbed?
No, I would lose it. I'd have PTSD for 6 months after that.
I didn't like it at all. But that night, Tommy and I slept at my house, at my apartment. I have a lot of property in L.A. We slept at one of my apartments in West Hollywood and with a GUN very close by.
And what's up with the dogs? They didn't help out.
Well, the dog was in the car, and she didn't know. I mean, the dog doesn't know if somebody's got a gun. For all she knows,
right.
It's a sandwich.
We'll give him a break. And you were doing work for Clear Eyes right now?
Oh, boy, do I do a lot of work. I am the spokesman for Clear Eyes. I'm a spokesman for Town & Country Mortgage, which is a very big mortgage lending company.
Wow.
I was until very recently doing commercials for Mercury, and that may be renewed.
Nice.
I am the spokesman for, it's great, for the National Retirement Planning Coalition, which is a group of people concerned about the retirement of us baby boomers. And I am also the spokesman for, what's the other thing? Oh, for I'm a spokesman for an investment management firm called Lucia, Ray Lucia. So, and I do a lot of speeches, and I keep busy, but I doubt if I earn as much money as you or your former co-host Adam, but I earn a good living.
He's now officially rich, as he declares it.
Well, he's been saying he's been rich for a long time.
He said he's a millionaire. He said he's a millionaire. Now he's officially rich.
Well, how rich is that?
He's taken over for Howard Stern, and that's big money.
Well, wait a second. Howard Stern got big money because he was on all over the country, and Adam isn't. And Howard Stern had demonstrated power to draw a huge audience, which Adam does not so far. Although I will say Adam is about 1,000 times smarter than Howard Stern.
Yes, I agree with you.
1 million times. Adam is as smart as any person I've ever met in Hollywood.
And as I recall, last time you were up here, that's Anderson putting his two cents in. The last time you were up here, we had a call where we were sort of going on and on with the abuse history. Remember this? It was sort of an extraordinary call. I can't remember what the call was, but I remember you were very impressed by it.
I can't get over your callers generally. I mean, your callers generally seem to come from another planet. On the planet I live in, a bad day is when the maid doesn't show up. But these people come from a different planet. But let's
these are Americans, Ben. This is the core of America.
I know. I spend a lot of time out in the core of America. I travel all around the country speaking. I'm going to Monroe, Louisiana on Thursday. I spend a lot of time in North Idaho. I spend a lot of time in Rancho Mirage. Well, I guess that's not the heart of America. But anyway, I want to hear
all right.
from some people.
All right, here we go. Let's get something going here. This now is Jessica's 23. And for some reason, this isn't coming up. So give me 1 second here. 1 second. We're having a little bit of...
I want to hear from...
technical problem. Yeah, go ahead and put it up, Anderson. It's line 5.
Put it up? My God.
Yes.
What kind of a show is this?
I mean, put it on the air, line 5.
Okay.
Jessica? Jessica? Yeah, Anderson, what's happening there? We can't get Jessica. I can't hear her if she's going.
I can't hear her either.
I can't hear her either.
Let's try somebody else.
All right. I'm going to try rebooting my entire system here.
Reboot it.
Fantastic.
Buddha.
Yeah, something seems to be happening.
I'm going to put you Deanna on
Buddha.
One.
Buddha.
If you don't get Deanna, we've got big problems.
Okay,
hold on. I have to start my whole system over again.
Buddha.
So anyway, too bad we can talk about you some more, though. Now, people know...
you talk and boot at the same time?
Yes, I can do that. That's what I'm doing, in fact. Booting, when I was in college, booting meant vomiting. When you were in college...
No, booting means shooting heroin.
Oh, really? Oh, you guys were cooler in the 60s or whatever in college.
Boot it means shoot heroin or else to take some other kind of drug. I have never taken heroin and never will, but that is what it means. Remember the first time you booted heroin, how great you felt? No, that's sort of like what that means.
You're a heroin addict.
If you use that phrase a lot, it certainly means that. I would never use heroin in a million years, never have and never would.
I still can't seem to get my cocaine or
any other drug.
So, Anderson, if you could put line 5 up, that would be great.
All right, I did last time. You still couldn't hear, which is troublesome.
Ah. Well, she was on the phone? Either.
All right, she's up.
She's up now. Okay. Jessica? Ben, can you hear Jessica?
No, I cannot hear Jessica.
Let's try. Why don't you try line 1? See if we can get that.
Okay, line 1 is on now.
It's not showing on. Deanna?
Hello?
There we are.
Jessica was the problem.
Okay, so call her Deanna. What's going on?
Well, when I have sex with this one guy, after I orgasm, I get so tight that he can't get back in. He gets pushed out.
So you have he gets pushed out during the orgasm?
Yeah, and then he can't get back in. He can't even, finger me to get back in.
Because it hurts?
I think there's a name for that.
There is. No. It's called vaginismus.
Vaginismus, yes.
That's right.
It doesn't hurt anything.
Well,
it doesn't hurt. Maybe it doesn't hurt you, but it might hurt him. I doubt if he likes it. Maybe he does. Well, what's the cure for this, Dr. Well, Drew? I would think the cure for this would be booting up.
Booting up is one way I'm sure that could get over this. But the reality is that when it's normal after an orgasm or during an orgasm to have vaginal contractions, okay? And some women, that can be quite powerful. In your case, there's some post-orgasmic spasm of the floor, the musculature of the pelvis, and that needs to give it some time to relax. Basically, you're overstimulated. Your body doesn't want any more stimulation at that point. How long do you think it would be before he could make another attempt at it?
If it were me, it would be about 2 weeks.
Well, <that's, laughs> I'm nearing that point too.
I have no idea. Sadly enough, he's the only second person I've ever come with.
How old is he?
He's 29.
And you have
well, I have a good idea for you. You should take. Do you know what hydrocodone is?
Oh, Ben.
I know what it is. I'm not going to take it.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Okay.
He's advocating oppiates for you, and that will.
Well, I was going to say that will create relaxation and throughout your whole body. But I was not going to say you should take them illegally. I was going to say you should see your sex doctor and get him to prescribe them.
No, I don't think they would go down that path. I think that I think just a little bit of time. I think it's a natural reaction. I think you got to give it a little time. Just like when he sometimes.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, the guy must be pretty unhappy about this. I think.
Well, but
I
they need to time it up better.
You know, I have a good idea. All right, I have a better idea.
Well, before you do, let me just say, women have to wait for men to get their erection back. Why does? Well, what's the big deal if he has to wait for her to sort of relax a little bit?
Why doesn't she?
The thing with him, he
never loses his erection.
No, and it takes forever for him to come, and you know, by the time he
this is a problem.
No, it's not. But the fact that you know I tighten up, he's really good.
Why don't you? Have you ever thought? All right, I have another suggestion for you.
All right.
Do you know who Al Gore is?
Yeah.
He ran for. Okay.
Think about him
while you're having sex, and that should allow you to delay the orgasm long enough for him to reach completion, and then you'll be all set.
Well, part of the reason he lasts so long is he has a spinal injury.
Oh my!
Nerve damage, and I'm actually the only person to make him come in the last 2 years.
My God, you must feel special.
Yeah, he's really special.
That is really great. What part of the country are you in?
Iowa.
That is great.
See, when you were visiting Iowa, you missed this part of the American populace.
How did he hurt his back?
He got in a car accident. He got hit.
He must be so in love with you.
No, he's not.
He's not?
Why not?
Well, how do you know he's not? It sounds like he is. Why is he? How do you know he's not in love with you?
That's not the type of relationship we have.
Well, what kind of relationship is it?
Did you just use the F word?
I thought you weren't allowed to use that on the radio.
Sorry.
You are not allowed to use that.
You're not allowed to use that. We'd like to apologize to the Federal Communications Commission for saying that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We are very sorry, and we respectfully apologize to the FCC. And I've known many commissioners of the FCC in my life, and they're all fine men and women, and we apologize to them.
Oh. And thankfully, we have a seven-second delay, so they got that out of the way for us.
Well, wait a second. So your friends who have sex with each other.
Okay. But we want to talk to her. Why she? I'm sure she wants this to be more than just friendship. Can we bring her back, Anderson?
She's on.
No.
Okay, Deanna, I'm sure you want this to be more than just friendship.
No.
Yes.
No, I don't.
Why not?
You don't like him?
No. I
don't understand this. Why are you having sex with him if you don't like him? That to me sounds like a problem.
I like him as a friend, and I like him as a person. I'm just not really big into relationships.
Why are you not big into relationships? I think, Dr. Drew, I think here we're getting to something.
Yes,
you're not big into relationships, but you like to do the wild thing with him. And yet when you do the wild thing, you experience some kind of physical revulsion at doing it and are symbolically casting him out of your body while you claim that you like doing it. And yet, it maybe if you loved him, you would not cast him out of your body like a child casting out demons.
Like a foreign body.
Like in The Exorcist. Why don't you fall in love with him and see? Well, wait a second. Have you ever been in love with anyone?
Yes.
Who?
Do I have to say his name?
No,
no,
of course
not. Who was this guy?
But you can if you want.
He was my first real boyfriend, I guess. I dated like three other guys, but we went roller skating, for goodness sakes.
And how old were you at the time that you like did it with him?
I knew him since I was like a little kid because he was best friends with my brother.
And I hope you weren't doing it with him when you were a little kid.
Oh, no, we never had sex.
Oh, sure.
So let me sort of put the pieces together here. You were not traumatized growing up. You weren't physically or sexually abused.
Oh, you
correct?
Always get on that, Dr. Drew. That has nothing to do with this story.
But trauma. But I'm just going to make sure that that's not part of this because that does affect sort of how she will come to relationships.
The witness will answer. Were you traumatized when you were a child?
No.
Okay.
Have you ever had sex with anyone you really loved?
No.
Answer the question. Have you ever really loved anyone?
Yes.
But this was a person you did not have sex with. You did have sex with him.
No.
So you've never had sex with anyone you loved?
No. Well, I loved him as a friend, but not more than that.
What's your occupation?
Occupation? I work at a Dollar General.
Those are great stores. That has been an incredible stock. Anyway, well, let's see.
Here's the deal. Something's up with her dad. That's usually what creates.
No, it isn't. It has nothing to do with her dad.
Tell us about your dad.
Tell us in words of one syllable about your dad. Just in words of one syllable.
And watch your language.
In words of one syllable.
Deanna?
I'm trying to think of words of one syllable.
All right, never mind. They can be three syllables.
Just describe your feelings of
three
your
or
feelings
four
about
syllables,
your dad.
But they can't be more than four.
He was a truck driver, very quiet person.
Your feelings about your dad.
Oh, my feelings about him? Indifferent.
So you're disconnected from him.
Yeah. He had a daughter long before I was born, and she died. And
I'm sorry.
We were never really close, but we had, I really liked horses, and so did he, so he got me a horse.
Okay, wait a second. Let me just tell you, all right, here we go. Let me just tell you something. Your name is Deanne?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just tell you something. I am probably one of the oldest people you've ever talked to. I'm older than, how old is your father?
He was 69.
Is he no longer living?
He's no longer living.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I apologize.
What happened to him?
Well, I'm not older than your father. But I find, generally speaking, that women... Well, she just said he died. I mean...
I wanted to make sure he wasn't an alcoholic.
Don't tell me you think that her vaginismus is going to be relevant to the cause of her father's death. You surely are not going to try to connect those two things.
Get a picture. No, why she can't feel close to people. Why that's overwhelming to her. And if her dad was an addict and a truck driver and never available,
people can feel very close to addicts. I've had many addicts in my life that I've been very close to, and so have we all.
Absolutely. But if it's your dad, you'll tend to only feel close to people like that. You'll tend to go for people that aren't available to you. And then
she's not saying that he's not available to her. She says she doesn't like him that much. Let's ask this question. Why do you like horses so much? What's so great about a horse?
They're being quiet and strong and confident.
Big. Well, I have never known a woman who was really, really into horses who was able to form a genuine attachment to a man. I'm sorry to say that.
Is that
never.
Right?
And not only that, my psychiatrist, whom I've been going to now for 25 years, is probably the best psychiatrist in the world, except for you. I know you're not a psychiatrist.
No, I'm an internist.
He has said that if you find a woman who's really into horses, she's never going to be able to form a strong attachment with men. So I think you've got to choose, Deanne.
And you're abusing me for talking about dad.
Is it horses or is it men? What is it? Come on.
Well, since I haven't rode a horse since I was 10.
Okay, well, then I think you've made your choice. You want men.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you can't fall in love with this guy.
Right, and this is the bottom line.
Does he have bad breath?
That closeness is required, you know, to be able to be in love, you have to feel comfortable in closeness and proximity to other minds, other people, to have intimacy, and to be happy and fulfilled.
Well, she feels close to his dick.
Yeah.
I mean, so she's close to him already, but she's not...
Anderson?
She's not feeling close to his... She's not feeling close to him psychologically.
No, right. I mean, her father's... And that's the point. No, that's the point. And her dad was unavailable, whatever. Maybe or maybe not. That has something to do with it. But the fact is she needs to make a commitment to finding ways to take herself into closeness. Because all right, I'm putting her on hold. Oh, still not working. Because that's what people need to be happy, right? I mean, is that simple enough?
No, it's too complicated. I could not agree more, but... Okay. First, she's got to just get those horses out of her mind altogether.
I agree with you.
She's 20. You're 23, right?
She's 23. We got to move on to another caller.
All right. Well, we've loved talking to you, Deanne, and we hope that you have a good life.
All right. Let's talk to line three, Anderson and Veronica. Sorry. You want to go to commercial now?
Yeah, and we can try and figure out your phone, maybe.
No. It's a mess.
Yeah, actually, I already figured it out. There's nothing we can do.
What's the matter?
Bad phone line.
We love you, Deanne. We're sorry.
Want to go to Veronica real quick?
No, we can take commercial if you want. All right, so here we are. Ben Stein with us tonight. You know him from many projects, not the least of which is Ferris Bueller, Win Ben Stein Money, Turn Ben Stein On. He is a prolific author. How to Ruin Your Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life, How to Ruin Your Financial Life are books to live by, right?
I would say, Ben, that they are very wise and clever, too.
So we'll be back with Ben Stein. After this.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Excuse me?
Love Line's coming back Bueller. In a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
Bueller.
Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. With us tonight, Ben Stein. And a lot of people know that Ben Stein's a smart guy and a prolific author, but I'm not sure everyone knows that he was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon.
And Gerald Ford.
And Gerald Ford went to Columbia. And then Yale Law School. Did you become an attorney? Did you?
I was briefly a trial attorney, but I hated it. I don't like arguing. I really do not like arguing.
What kind of stuff were you doing?
I was doing what's called trade regulation, which is false and deceptive advertising law, and it was almost all of it was about a very, very large fruit-flavored drink called High C, we were alleging that the advertisements were not factual, and we did not win the case. And I don't think High C is good for you. No, I think High C is good for you. As a matter of fact, I was sort of ordered to proceed with the case. I myself have always been a big fan of High C, but. It was a typical example of government overreaching and meddling.
Do you put your law degree to use to this day? Are you glad you have
yes,
that
Yes, I
training?
Do. I have people ask me legal questions, and I give them answers. I don't get paid for it, but I just give them advice. And I had a great time in law school. Wifey and I were in law school together, and Wifey and I used to have a lot of fun. We'd get incredibly high and play bridge and cheat at bridge and just be riotously, unbelievably high. We were there at the same time as George Bush, as a matter of fact, and that was sort of the fashion then. We had a lot of fun. I had more fun.
Did you know him?
I met him once or twice because I was one of the people who ran the Yale Law School Film Society, and he used to come to our movies on occasion. He was a funny guy.
And how about Bill and Hillary? Were they there then?
Hillary was a first year when I was a third year, and I knew her slightly, and my wife knew her a little bit. And Bill came the year after that, and I didn't know him. I've never met him. He did send me an incredibly kind letter when my father died. I had a prominent father. And so I do not share the anger against him that many Republicans feel. I think he was basically a pretty good guy.
Good administrator, that's for sure.
I think he was a very capable guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm not sure people around the country appreciate Yale Law School is, that's particularly in that period of history, top of the heap. I mean, that's where everybody wanted to go.
It was a very, very, it still is very, very good law school, and I had nothing but smart people around me, many much smarter than I was.
Let's take some calls here, Ben. This is Crystal, who is 13. Crystal.
Hello.
Hold your breath.
Hello.
Here we go.
Hi,
Crystal.
How are you? How was your weekend?
It was good. How was yours?
Fine. Where are you calling from?
California.
Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Excellent. And this is where you tell us what you'd like us to respond to.
Okay. I like this guy, and he looks at porn, and he masturbates and stuff like that. And, like, he knows that I like him, and he thinks I'm, like, some, like, innocent kind of girl and stuff like that.
Are you really a bad girl?
Like, I masturbate and look at porn and stuff like that, too. But he doesn't know that.
And this is the ubiquitous internet.
Do you watch the porn on the internet, or do you buy discs and watch it?
Internet.
Yeah. What's your favorite site?
I don't know.
You don't know? How do you get to it?
I don't know. My friend sends it to me.
He sends you a link?
Yeah.
Or she sends you a link? What's on the site?
Just stuff.
And so you... Okay, go ahead.
What's your question about this?
I was wondering if I should tell him that.
Well, what's the point of telling him? Because you want him to be your boyfriend, want him to know that you're sexually experienced, at least to
that
some
cool.
extent.
I don't know, like, because...
Crystal, here's my basic take. It is absolutely fine that you do that. It is normal. It is healthy. It's good that you're understanding, learning about yourself. Don't get lost in all that. You know, it can get overstimulating, and your brain is still...
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, no, we don't know. But think about it, Ben. We don't really know the impact of all that pouring down on 12, 13, 14-year-olds. It may not be a big deal, but we don't know. So it's fine.
Well,
it's
are you still... Are you... What grade are you in, Crystal?
I'm in 8th.
Are you able to do your homework?
Yeah.
Are you able to go to gym class?
Yeah.
Are
no,
you
ben,
able
what
to
I'm
help
saying
your
is,
mother clean up from dinner? Well, I mean, are you basically a responsible human being?
Yeah, of course she is. Of course she is. But here's
why
the deal.
Do you say of course she is? You got the most psycho bitches in the world calling in here. Why
well, that's
do you
true.
Say,
we do, but
the
Kelly does. We sort of you get the feeling, you know, when people are really sick, you feel a certain way, and she doesn't give you that feeling certainly. But here's the deal: I don't want her to feel ashamed for masturbating. Women should do that. It's fine. It's healthy. So be it. Great. But Ben, consider this. Let's take a bunch of adolescent primate, chimpanzees, and let's stimulate them with all kinds of crazy images that make them excited and know. And do you think that might change the trajectory of their neurobiological development? I don't know. We don't know.
I don't
that.
Know never- either. But I'm a little more puzzled by the next thing. Do you want to have sex with this other 13-year-old boy? Is that why you want it? You're thinking of telling him that you are sexually active, at least with yourself. Is that the point of it?
Yeah, yes.
So I think that's the real issue. I think 13 is a little old to start out. Wait a second. I got that backwards. A little young. No, I'm kidding. I love my own jokes.
How are the clear eyes people going to feel about this?
No, they don't. They won't be listening to this. They're very sober people who go to bed early. At 13 is too young to start having sex with this guy, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely.
It's really pretty young.
Yes.
It's
one
really
thing
pretty
that,
darn
that,
young.
One thing that current research suggests is that really the brain it cannot handle until about 16 the effects of intimacy and it becomes traumatizing. It's overwhelming prior to that age. It really leaves effects. I've never met a woman who had sex before the age of 16 that didn't wish. That she'd waited longer.
I wish they'd never had sex. So.
That's right. You'll rarely meet a woman
especially
who says
the ones who've had sex with me. So.
Well, that's a different issue. But you'll rarely meet a woman who says I wish I'd lost my virginity earlier. You meet lots of guys say that, but you'll never read a woman. Women will always say, I wish I'd waited.
I have met women who wish they'd had sex earlier. I've certainly met women who wish they'd had more sex.
Yes,
but
yes.
Crystal, what do you think will happen to you if you have sex with this man? How do you think your life will change if you have sexual intercourse with this other 13-year-old person? How will your life be different?
Yeah, that's one way. Yeah.
How else besides possibly getting pregnant do you think how else do you think it would change?
I don't want to have sex with him. I just want to that'll turn him on.
All right.
Well, wait a second. Why do you want to turn him on except to have sex with him?
I don't know.
So you want to torture him with your young body. Is that it? I mean, what is the point?
See, this is what concerns about the porn raining down on these kids, Ben.
Very confusing.
Yeah, they're seeing all these sexual images that are adult in nature, that have meaning to adults, and they're making their own meaning of it based on very primitive understanding, and it leads to trouble. Let's go to Veronica, who's 25.
But
Veronica?
Thank you for calling very much,
thank
Crystal.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Good luck to you, Crystal.
Veronica?
Hello. Yes.
Hey, what's up? You're on with Ben Stein.
And Dr. Drew.
Yes.
All right. Well, I've been waiting to hear your guys' show for quite some time. And she's like, every time I call, it's always busy. But anyway, I need some insight on something.
Okay, well, you've come to the right place.
Well, it seems like every guy that I come across and I end up making friends with, I have to have sex with them.
Why? Why do you have to do that?
I don't know, and it's difficult.
You mean they make you do it at gunpoint, or what? What do you mean you say you have to do it?
I don't know. I don't know why.
How old are you?
25.
I'm 25.
We call that a boundary problem, a boundary difficulty.
Kansas City, Missouri.
I was just there giving a speech. It's a really nice place. And there's a good place for ribs there, I think.
Oh, yes, a couple of them.
Barbecue, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Give us a scenario about how the friends into lovers thing happens. I mean, going to a movie, say, or having a hamburger with the guy, and then how do you next find yourself having sex with him? How does that work out?
This weekend, I went to a friend's house, went to a house party, and there was this guy that I saw from a previous party, and we ended up having sex that night.
I know, but stop making those noises. They're really distracting. So,
but you didn't run in the bedroom. You talked.
Yeah,
what happened?
And you talked to him. Did he say, like, I dig you, I want you, I need you, or did he give you drugs, or what happened? If so, what drugs did he give you?
No, we smoked a little bit, but...
Smoked a little of the reefer, or the chronic?
No, weed.
Ben, say chronic again.
Did you smoke the chronic?
Yeah.
What did you smoke? The chronic.
Huh?
Did he have a good stash?
Yeah, I don't know how it happens. It's just like we get to talking.
Wait a minute, you don't know how it happens? Are they giving you Rohypnol? I mean, what, you don't know how it happens?
Well, I mean, it could be that I drink a little bit too much.
A little bit. Okay. How many drinks did you have?
Well, that night, I think I had 7.
Seven drinks, and you smoked the ganja, and you wonder how it happened?
That's why I did that sound.
No. I usually don't.
He knows.
This is a recent thing, but it centers around, like, drinking. That's usually how it happens.
Well, that's how it happens for everybody.
Is there alcoholism in your family? Is this part of an alcoholic
process? Did your father abuse you?
Where's my bourbon?
No, he didn't.
I was making fun of Dr. Drew.
But
so wait a minute, so your father didn't abuse you?
No.
And yet you're having sex. Now, this is a mystery.
No. Well, no.
Why would anyone whose father didn't abuse her ever have sex?
I know,
sex?
It's hard to believe, Ben. It's hard to imagine.
I can't understand that.
My father was really quiet growing up. He never... Like,
oh, well, that's another form of abuse. That's called quiet abuse. Dr. Drew knows a lot about that. Why don't you try not drinking for a couple of weeks and see what happens? I bet you will find you don't have quite as much sex.
Maybe not.
What do you mean maybe not? Have you ever had sex with somebody you met the same night without either having the chronic or some other drug or alcohol ever?
Yeah, okay. I have.
You have when?
But it's not as much.
When?
Did you want to then?
Did you want to? Who was the guy?
It was a couple guys back at my old college that I went to.
What college?
Yeah, Stanford? So it was a college scene. It wasn't a party. We were just hanging in the dorm room.
You were just what? When you were just doing what?
Hanging in the dorm room.
You were hanging out in the dorm room. None of you was high. And you just said, let's, come on, dudes, let's get it on. And you proceeded to tear that hotel down. I mean, I don't get that. How did that work? That you're sitting there, you're watching a football game, and the next thing you know, the guy is doing you, and you don't know how it happened?
It could be anything from, like, watching a movie, and then we start getting sitting closer together, and then he puts his arm around me, and then we start kissing. And
But all guys are going to want to do that with you, right? You know that.
Are you cute? What are you wearing right now?
I have a huge jacket on because it's freaking cold here.
But, Veronica, here's the deal.
You're in Kansas City.
Let's get to it. Is there alcoholism in your family? Are you likely to have inherited that genetic potential?
No, it's only on the weekends once in a while whenever I drink.
Veronica, answer my question.
Wait a second.
Is it in your family system? Is there a genetic potential here?
No, but drugs is.
So who's
Respect
the addict?
My authorita.
Who's the addict?
God, my brother, he's a drug addict. My other brother's an alcoholic.
Okay, so the genes of the family.
How many drinks do you think you have in a typical week on average?
Probably five. And that's during the weekend.
You only have five for the whole weekend?
Yeah, it'd be like Friday or Saturday night. But then I go through spurts of it. Like, I'll, like, go out like crazy for 3 months, and then I won't go out. And I get this, like, feminazi mood. It's really weird. And then,
what's feminazi mood?
That's what my brother calls it.
What does that mean?
All guys, and I would just want to take them all down, and
So you have very ambivalent feelings about men.
Yes, yes. And she acts out sexually, and then she hates them for participating with her.
But do you hate them for helping to humiliate you? Do you feel like you've been humiliated?
Maybe, like, there's guilt afterwards.
Do they ever call you afterwards and do you ever?
They'll call and want to
do it again.
Do it again.
Go back, Jack. Do it again.
All right, Veronica, one way you can look about this.
Well, I think there's a lot more to be said to Veronica.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you want to put it on hold? Because I got to take a commercial.
I like Veronica.
Okay, I do too. She's very interesting.
Veronica. But what are you wearing
right
now?
Hey, Ben, easy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Easy. There's a window in that studio.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, sure, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. Anyway, but there's one of the ways to conceptualize what's going on with her, and there are many different psychological issues, obviously, with her, but one is that this is part of an alcoholic addictive process, and one of the things that happens neurobiologically is that sex will activate that same what's called the medial forebrain bundle that the alcohol does. And when you're in a system, when you're in a sort of a binge where you're being driven by that system, sex and alcohol go together for some people. And so,
of course, because they all make you feel good. They all release that thing, those things in the blood that make you feel good. There's a reason why people have been drinking for many centuries and people have been having sex for many centuries.
Well, but when it gets out of control, we know that the mechanism in the medial forebrain takes over, and you can't use your volition the way you'd like to because the drives intensify.
Well, she wouldn't be calling us if she were happy with her behavior. So we know there's something wrong.
Right.
But what I wonder is why does she get in this mood of anger at the men over something she's done herself? I mean, you've never been raped, have you, Veronica?
Well, we're gonna find out if Veronica's been raped. We're in with Ben Stein. Be sure to check out his books at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. It's How to Ruin Your Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life, and or How to Ruin Your Family.
Find out if she's been raped.
Hang on. You know what you do, Ben? You want to put them in a little, like a threesome packet for Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, going to.
Perfect. All right, so you can buy the Christmas package of Ben Stein's books.
Thank you.
And when we return, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. When we return, we're going to find out, if Veronica's been raped. We'll be right back. I'm a rapist.
Yep, Loveline will be back.
Glad to hear it.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. A very special Loveline where you are getting the benefit of the wisdom of the great Ben Stein. And in fact, we're sort of breaking one of our rhythmic rules here, which is we try to go a call every 3 or 4 minutes. We're going like 12, 14 minutes.
I'm sorry. Well, you do whatever you want.
No, no, I like it. I'm just apologizing.
Were you abused as a child, Dr. Drew?
No.
Why do you feel you have to be in all these rhythms then? Okay, never mind. Let's ask Veronica. I was abused.
I was abused as a co-host for a long time, and I was abused into certain sort of rhythms and things. And so
yes, exactly. Veronica, are you still there?
I'm still here.
How tall are you, Veronica?
5'9".
Whoa, that's pretty tall.
Want us to get her number off air for you, Ben?
No, no. How much do you weigh?
I'm 140.
That's about right.
So, let me ask you a question. After you've had these sexual incidents with people who you're not really close to, do you wake up the next morning and say, God, I'm a slut, and hate yourself?
I used to think that, like, I didn't have sex until I was 18. Mm-hmm. But I used to go through that, and then I was like, no, I mean, it should be okay for a woman to have sex. You know, controlled sex, you know, with condoms and birth control.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're convincing yourself of stuff that you weren't feeling is the
but
problem.
Do you feel ashamed of yourself right now?
Only because my friend said something to me, my friend that went with me at that
house party. Did she have sex, too?
With her boyfriend, yeah.
At the party?
Yeah.
Did you watch?
No.
Okay, just wondering.
No, I didn't watch.
How do you know she had sex? Did she just
tell
you?
Oh, Ben.
Well, I'm sure they did. They have sex all the time, so.
Yeah. Okay, well then, but this is a guy who's her steady boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So have you ever had a steady boyfriend?
I am in the middle of a divorce right now.
Yeesh.
So you were married?
Yeah, we went out for 5 years, and all we did was have sex. There was nothing else in the relationship.
Mm-hmm, but.
And that's why we're getting divorced now, because we didn't know each other. All we did was have sex.
Wow.
I was really addicted. Like, I've palmed down quite
you're
a bit.
You're addicted to sex.
Yeah.
And you were not abused.
Not physically, but I was molested by
There we go. Was this the thing with Al Gore?
No.
Okay, now, sexual abuse plus biology genetics of addiction creates sexual addictions.
It's very unusual. Tell us about the abuse incident.
My brothers, they had, I don't know, molested me one time. And then I had a childhood friend, which I'm thinking this could be the link to all of it. From like the age of 5 until the age of 10, he would always like, when we'd go over to his, like my mom would go over to their house and I'd see him and he'd always like try and get me in his bedroom and take advantage of me. And this went on for many years and I never told my mother about it.
I think there's something going on here. You are equating sex and being touched and being entered with being cared about and loved, which are not necessarily the same thing.
You know what? The extraordinary thing about the human being, Ben, is that when we are traumatized in childhood, we enter our adult life and reenact the same traumas over and over and over again. And of course, our culture tells you, it's cool. Why not? It's whatever you want. You're just into sex. No, it's a highly, highly dysfunctional behavior, and it needs to be treated. You are getting sexually addicted. This is the classic setup for sexual addiction. And everyone who gets into these behaviors is miserable. They're angry with themselves and ashamed. They're angry with the men for participating and reenacting these traumas. And it's a very serious situation. You've already lost one marriage because of it.
Today is November 28th. How many men have you had sex with in the last 6 months?
Probably, 10, 12?
That isn't that many, Dr. Drew, is it?
No, but listen, this, I'm telling you this. She's got all the earmarks of trouble here, and I suggest
that she
gets some help with it.
Well, how many times a week would you say you have sex, typically?
It's random. It really depends. Like this weekend, I had... Well, I only had sex with one person this weekend.
Only
one person?
Yeah.
Did you have sex with any other kind of being?
Well, during like the sexual spurts, I could have sex with four or five people over the week.
Veronica, seriously, I deal with this stuff.
Yeah,
I deal with this stuff all the time in my professional life, and you've got to get some help with this. You just see a general therapist or somebody particular has history of helping people with addictions, because that is what's burgeoning here. This is going to link into a chemical addiction too eventually, and you're unhappy with this. You called us about it. Do something about it. If you want to do something that's free, go to a 12-step meeting.
Yeah, that's just what I was going to say. There is something called Sex Addicts Anonymous. You can go to it. They give you a form to fill out and tells you whether you can be considered a sex addict. Do you do it to the point where you feel ashamed? Do you feel that people are making you do it? Have you ever done it when you didn't want to? Do you do it with people just so you can seem to please them? Do you ever do it?
Ben seems to know a little too much about this test, but anyway.
Yeah, I think you should try a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting and see if there is one in
Kansas City.
I'm sure there is in a big city like Kansas City, which is a wonderful city, by the way.
They have good barbecue.
It's a very, very, very nice city. Incredibly nice people.
The people in the Midwest, come on, are so nice.
People in the
nice.
Midwest are the salt of the earth.
Yes, I agree.
We enjoyed talking to you, Veronica, and we hope you have a great life.
Call me back. Let me know how this turns out. This is now a
call me back, too.
This is, and you, well, we, Ben, I'll get you back, and then we'll get Veronica back.
Good.
So, Kathleen, this is, Kathleen's 21. Kathleen, this is for Ben.
Hi.
Hey, Kathleen.
How are you guys?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, peachy keen.
Where are you from, Kathleen?
I'm from Santa Rosa in California.
Oh, we love California. Okay.
I love California, too. It's kind of wet right now, but, you know.
Really?
It's pouring.
Well, it's very pleasant down here in Southern California. Maybe you should consider moving down here.
Oh, boy.
Did you have something to say?
This is wonderful.
Would you like to say something?
I just wanted to say that, Ben Stein, you are amazing. Everything you've said so far tonight, I agree with wholeheartedly.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've enjoyed watching you. Everything on TV, you're just wonderful.
Well, we love you, Kathleen. What's your occupation?
I'm a student right now. I major in archaeology and marine biology and minor in languages.
Whoa.
What school do you go to?
I'm at the JC. And don't make fun of me.
You're fat.
University.
And where?
Hey, you're going to the university or are you planning to go there?
I'm thinking about Monterey.
Well, Adam Carolla is the one who makes fun of people who go to junior colleges.
Not us.
We don't. We respect people who go to junior colleges. And if you want to really study marine biology and also have a great time, I recommend UC Santa Cruz, which is the very coolest place in the world.
And by the way, when Adam was in junior college, it was in the 70s when there was sort of a wastebasket there. Now, some junior colleges, certain Midwest and East, are really sort of, it's an honor to go there, and they're cracks into very high levels of education.
We have very, very good junior colleges in California. All right, do you have a sex or love related
question? No, I can't. I got it. This is a break I have to take on time. Right. But Kathleen, here's the deal. You love Ben Stein so much. Here's what you got to do. How to Ruin Your Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life, How to Ruin Your Financial Life. Those are the books you go to Amazon, you buy. And they're now going to come as a set for Christmas. So you can talk to Ben Stein.
God bless you, Kathleen. Thank you.
Some more after this break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Hey there, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, the great Ben Stein in the studio tonight. Ben, anything coming up on television for you in the near future?
No, I don't think I'll ever be on TV again.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
No plans. I actually am in the process of trying to sell a show in which I would do all different jobs to see what it was like doing jobs like being a greeter at Walmart, being a waiter at Denny's, being a... information operator, being a ambulance driver, just trying all different jobs.
That's a great idea.
I think we're fairly close to selling that. We shall see. A very smart friend of mine named Judah Friedman thought it up.
That's a great idea. And
Thank you.
Tell me about your upbringing. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a suburb of Washington, D.C., called Silver Spring, Maryland.
It was very, very pleasant. The great Bate family used to live, right?
I don't know. You mean masturbate? I actually went to school with some very famous people. I went to school with Carl Bernstein, the famous Watergate reporter. He lived next door to me. And also the year after me in high school, a close friend in high school, not a really close friend, a friend, was Goldie Hawn. And then after her was Connie Chung. And in junior high, one of my classmates was Sylvester Stallone. So lots of famous people. But it was a very nice place to grow up.
Very nice place. Anything you can shed light on for us as far as those people are concerned?
Well, Goldie Hawn has always been a very nice, pleasant human being, and for all I know, she still is. I haven't seen her in a few years. I used to see her occasionally at Morton's, but I haven't seen her for a long time there. Carl Bernstein and I are still close friends, and he's a very amusing guy. I mean, I disagree with him politically about as much as a person can disagree, but America is such a great country that people can still be friends, even though they disagree politically.
Yes.
Connie Chung is a wonderful, wonderful young woman. Or I guess she's not as young as she was, but she's a very lovely woman. Sylvester Stallone was a skinny, gawky kid, and he and I used to hang out at the same pizza place. And he's a great guy. I mean, these are all great people. You know, I am closer to the people I went to high school with than to the people I went to law school or college with. And when my father died, several of them came to his funeral, and they're just really wonderful people. And it was a very close-knit group at Montgomery Blair High School, and we're still close-knit 43 years after we graduated.
Was your dad in government?
My father was an economist for the a group called the Committee for Economic Development, which is a private businessman's group. And then under President Nixon, he was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, and that made him a member of the cabinet. And he was that briefly under Mr. Ford also. And then he became a professor at the University of Virginia. And he was on the board of directors of various public companies and also a columnist for the New York Times. For the Wall Street Journal for a long time. I'm the one who's a columnist for the New York Times.
Ah, interesting.
Well, you're very kind to ask.
Let's take a call. Matt, 16.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hi. Ben, how are you doing?
What up?
Yeah. I feel like I'm one of those people that, like, overly masturbates. And, I mean, I just want to know, like, if there are any, like, long-term, like, health risks.
No.
Or, like...
No, you're not going to turn yourself inside out or anything like that. Though you can certainly, people do occasionally hurt themselves, their skin. You know, they actually
irritate
their skin.
Let's go to the girl callers.
Yeah, yeah, I've gotten like a rash down there from it.
How many times a day are you doing this?
5, 6.
Oh my God, you're sick. Holy smoke. No, I'm just kidding, it's fine. That's 16. Incredible. How do you have time to do anything else? Are you in school?
Yeah, yeah.
What grade?
10th.
Are you a popular kid?
What?
How do you have time to do anything else?
Are you a popular kid? Or do people want to shake your hand?
I don't think after this.
No, I don't think so. I think, could you try to cut it down to 4 times a day?
Oh, poor Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, you know, it's some young male, 16 to 19, will do this a couple times a day. That for some men is a normal rate, some even 3. But 5 times a day, you're getting into sort of a compulsive range.
Mm-hmm. This is a drug addiction. He's addicted to the drug that is secreted when he has an orgasm. He might as well be smoking crack. I mean, it's not illegal. Well, maybe it is illegal. I don't think it's illegal, but maybe it is illegal. No, I don't think it's illegal. Now, Dr. Drew, you are an addiction specialist, and I normally make fun of you saying that things are addictions.
Yes.
But this, I think, we can call a true addiction.
Well, it is if it has consequences and if the sort of the right setup is there. In other words, addiction has a genetic basis to it. And so is there alcoholism in your family?
Oh, God, Drew, can't you ever get off that? Side.
No, you can't have addiction without the gene. And so
why don't you ask your father if he's a chronic masturbator?
Well, no, because it's a different syndrome if it's an addiction as opposed to a compulsion. And so what differentiates the addiction is the genetic potential for addiction. So is there alcoholism in your family somewhere?
There's a little bit on my dad's side.
And is your dad an alcoholic?
When you say a little bit, what do you mean by a little bit?
His brother is an alcoholic, but he is not.
Okay.
Well, is he? But how do you know your father's not an alcoholic? Maybe he's doing it secretly, the way you're masturbating secretly,
or controlling something.
Like we've had this talk before, and he said that I've been caught drinking before. My dad has told me but there's addiction in his family.
All right, so he's worried about you as a possibility. So it's not for sure.
Dr. Drew, with all due respect to your obvious intelligence and education and experience, do you not think it is possible that he can be addicted to sex without also carrying a gene for alcoholism or drug addiction?
In the definition of addiction, this is a 1992 consensus publication that was put out in the medical literature. Addiction is a genetic disorder. It requires,
I don't doubt that it does, but maybe the genetic disorder is an addiction to sex and not an addiction to alcohol.
Oh, absolutely. But you need to see evidence of some addictive process being passed along.
Gee whiz, he's been masturbating 5 or 6 times a day. What more do you want to see? Do you want to see him drowning?
He could be bipolar. He could be manic depressive, and bipolars do this. He could be a trauma survivor, and trauma survivors sometimes do this.
Are you a trauma survivor?
No. No.
Are you bipolar?
No. I was dropped on the head as a child, though.
You were
dropped on the head. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
We all were.
I don't do this. All right.
Thank you very much. Just kidding.
The deal is, Matt, is you can go ahead and try to stop this if you want to. If you have consequences from it, if you have trouble functioning, if you hurt yourself physically, you said you already have a rash, and you still cannot stop in spite of attempts to do so, then that's something you may want to talk to somebody about and have a more formal evaluation.
Let me go back to something. Have you ever heard of Al Gore?
Think of Al Gore every time
Al Gore every time you're thinking of masturbating. Think of Al Gore. And see how that works.
This is like the girl calls. This is Brad. I was going to put up, but here's okay.
Think Brad is a girl's name, we're in a lot of trouble.
No. This is Tiffany 19. You ever watch that show Laguna Beach, Ben, on MTV?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I know Tiffany. You do. Okay,
yes,
Tiffany's from Laguna Beach. So here you go, Tiffany.
Very
what's
good,
up,
Tiffany?
Hi. Okay, I have a question. Me and my boyfriend have been going out for about 4 months, and he always asks me to perform oral sex on him, but for some reason, I don't know if it's I get scared. It's just like I won't do it, and he wants me to.
Why? I bet I know why you won't do it.
Why?
Because you're afraid you won't do it right, and he'll yell at you.
Well, that has something to do with it, but it's like I've done it before.
Did you do it right? Did you do it right?
Well, I was told I was good.
What are you worried? What do you think is going to happen to you?
I don't know. Do
you think that he's going to not respect you in the morning?
No, it has nothing. It's not that. I don't know. I don't know. It's just I have no idea.
So when he says to you, "Go down on me," you think, "Ooh, I'm scared. I can't do it."
No, I'm just like, no. Let's just have sex instead.
Interesting. Can you tell us anything else? I mean, is there anything that happened to you? Anything you want to share with
Were you abused as a child?
No, I wasn't abused as a child.
I wasn't going that way so much as did somebody ever
bipolar?
Force you to do this? You didn't want to?
How old
were
you?
You were raped a year ago. Raped.
Mm-hmm. Who did that?
My ex-boyfriend's best friend.
Did you go to the police about it?
Yeah, and it was his second offense, and they dropped the charges because alcohol was involved.
Well, wait a minute. Oh, because you were drinking, too?
Yeah, because I had a drink.
Wow.
You had one drink, and they dropped the charge?
I had one drink.
That sounds like very questionable behavior by the police, to tell you the truth.
By the way, counselor, would you have taken that case?
I would take the case as a lawyer. I would take the case and sue the police, who would not pursue the case. I think that's a gross abuse of their duty.
Well, mm-hmm.
I'm shocked at that. Could you go into the details?
The DA said that that they couldn't do it because his lawyer would tear me apart, and I've already went through so much, and they didn't want to put me through anymore.
Well, what else have you gone through? I mean, because of the rape.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, when he said you've been through so much, were there other rapes?
No, that was the only one, but what happened was he was like the all-star water polo team guy, and this was in high school, and he, you know, I was the slut, I was the whore, and I'm trying to ruin his career.
Wow.
This sounds like one of the worst miscarriages of justice I've ever heard of. That
sounds also like a bad episode from a sitcom.
Bad episode.
TV drama.
Yeah, that's really shocking. Did you consider filing a civil case against him?
My mom talked about it, but I just didn't want to go through with it. I just wanted to move on.
So you're not in school. So you were in high school with this kid?
Yeah, we went to the same high school, and I ended up, my mom took me out and put me in a private school.
Just think this is this story really offends me very much. I think you were very badly mistreated. I'm very upset about it, to tell you the truth. I don't like it. I really don't like it. It sounds like you were really treated badly.
Did this guy force you to have oral sex with him, the rape?
No.
But does oral sex feel like you're being forced into it in the way you were forced into the rape? Is it reminiscent in some way?
Sometimes.
Maybe it has to do with not wanting to actually see the male body part did the raping and seeing it up close and personal when you know that's the part that violated you and that's upsetting
and, you. And oral, you know, or the mouth is sort of an outlet for aggression too, and you kind of feel like, it doesn't feel right.
It.
Or whatever. It just feels incongruous. You're feeling all these aggressive feelings.
You know, I don't think you
abuse.
Have to feel bad about it. I would just say to your boyfriend, look, I mean, I'm doing you, and what...
That's good enough.
I'm doing you. That's good enough. Let's just take it slow and easy, and we'll work it out, and we'll try to explore what the problem is, and we'll get through it. But please try to be patient with me. I've had a lot of brutal things happen to me. And
does he know that? Does he know those things happen to you?
Yeah, he knows. Because I've been through a lot in the past 2 years. Because I have an addiction.
What's your addiction?
Meth, coke, and heroin.
Oh, whoa!
Anything else?
Whoa!
No, but I've been clean for almost 10 months.
Okay,
are you
Tiffany,
in the program?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Okay, you need to go. That is paramount. Nothing else matters, okay? Everything else we've been talking about pales by comparison with your heroin addiction.
I must know, do you mean to tell me that in Laguna Beach, one of the more affluent communities in California, kids are using meth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, are you kidding?
There's nothing else
to do. Well, you seem to be having sex. That's something else to do.
I'm not going to name institutions, but I consulted institutions in and around Los Angeles area, and they have, at the highest level institutions, huge problems with methamphetamine.
That stuns me. I am really, really shocked at that. Well, I would like to say that if you go into the 12-step program in a wholehearted, enthusiastic way and really, really, really turn your will and your life over to God, and really, really do ask him to find the answers for you in your heart, you will get to the point where either you're comfortable doing it or you're comfortable not doing it. And you'll just be comfortable, period.
And that'll be that, yes.
You'll be comfortable, period.
So, Tiffany, please just talk to your sponsor every day, go to meetings every day and focus on that, okay?
And don't get high. Go to lots of meetings and don't get high between meetings.
Now, the way you said that, Ben, it leads me to conclude that you know lots of recovering people because you've seen people go from caught in their disease to how comfortable they become.
I'm a recovering person myself.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. So, but it's a different feeling in recovery.
The feeling of being in the program is the best feeling there is. It's an unbelievably great feeling.
Okay, let's see. I have an interesting question. If sex addiction equals abuse, then what about people who don't have sex? I don't want to take that.
Yeah, it's too complicated. That sounds like some parents. French existentialist question.
we're going to talk to Sartre tonight. Brad, 15.
Why do we keep going to these boys? Okay.
Well, because we got to have some males
all right,
in
go
here.
Ahead.
We only had one so far, Ben.
Okay.
All right. Brad.
Yeah. Sorry if I stutter. I'm nervous as hell here.
Don't be nervous. We're your friends.
Even though Ben doesn't want to talk to you.
No, I do want to talk
today,
to him.
Today, Junior!
I do want to talk to him. Go ahead, Brad. We're listening very intently.
All right. My girlfriend's parents, which they're her guardians because it's her aunt and her uncle, are literally, they do not want me near her for any reason. They forced her to break up with me.
How old is she?
She is 15 as of, like, I believe 13 days ago.
All right. All right. What happened?
Why don't they like you, Brad?
Well, I made a very foolish decision. I went to her house, like, because my parents were out in Laughlin, and, you know, parents are gone. I'm going to do what I want.
So I leave the house and I go to her house instead, and her parents don't know anything about it. So I'm with her. We go to her bedroom. Nothing happened. We just, like, we're sitting there in the bed. I was hugging her because I'm that kind of person. Mm-hmm. We're watching TV. Her aunt walks in, kind of glares at me. So we have to go to the living room. And basically, I made a really bad impression at first. And then my parents came home that day, and I was still there. Mm-hmm. And they called me up and yelled at me, and I turned my phone off because I was upset with them.
My son does that all the time.
Would you leave your son alone, Ben? Hell is he
now? My son is a very, very good boy. So I'm just pointing out that the fact that someone does that doesn't make him a bad boy. My son's a good boy, and he does that.
How old is your son?
18.
18, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
My parents actually somehow found where I was, picked me up, and took me home, which since I disrespected Alora's guardians, which that's her name, Alora, by...
Is that her first name?
Yeah, Alora is her first name. I defied her, my parents, in their house. It's a major show of disrespect, which I understand. And then the very next day, me and Alora decided to start dating, and she came to my house just because, like, she didn't want to go home yet. So she came to my house, we talked about it, and we kind of got all the details worked out because, like, we knew that her parents were not going to be happy with me.
Got the picture. We're now get to the point.
Did you have sex with her?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Have you ever had sex with her?
Huh?
Have you ever had sex with her?
That's a yes.
No. Not at all.
Well, it sounds to me like you're behaving very respectfully. I don't get it. What's the problem?
I don't get it either, but what I need to know is how would I regain any small amount of trust with her parents? Because at this point, they want to move her to a different school to get her away from me.
Wow.
I would write them a letter, and I would say, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Jones," or whatever their name is, "I know I made a bad impression on you. I'm terribly, terribly sorry. It means more than anything else in my life right now to make that impression better. Please tell me anything I can do. Whatever it is, I will try to do it if it's within my power. And I totally apologize for whatever I've done in the past. And please be in touch with me. I want to be respectful to you. I do respect you. And I would like to get that across to you."
I hope you're recording this. You grovel like that. But, Brad, one question I have, in addition to apologizing like that, is there anything we should know about you that they're reacting to? Do you have tats? Do you have long hair? Do you present yourself in a way that makes them frightened? Do you have a reputation in town? What's going on?
Well, I do have a reputation, but it's not really that bad of one.
What's the reputation for?
Well, I have, like, anger issues sometimes.
Have you been in a lot of fights?
Yeah, I've been in a lot of fights, but I haven't been in jail for 3 years. No, never in jail.
But you haven't been in a fight since you were 12?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they can hold that against you if you were 12 years old.
I've been trying to stay out of fights. I nearly got in one recently, but stupid pressure.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
So I had long hair, and it was kind of like covered my eyes and whatnot.
All right, so clean up your act, Brad.
Yeah, that's a
he's a punk. He said he's a punk.
You know, Dr. Drew is making a very good point, Brad. I think if you actually made yourself look better, changed your appearance so that you started looking like an Ivy Leaguer, looking like a straight shooter, then I bet they'd start respecting your authority. Yeah,
walk the walk a little bit. And then also, like, I hope you record everything Ben said because that will get through to them. Ben Stein in here tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to talk to somebody after the break who wants to thank Ben for bringing up University of California, Santa Cruz. So we will talk to them. In the meantime, I want everyone to run to Amazon and order either or all of How to Ruin Your Sex Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life.
How to Ruin Your Love Life. I don't know anything about sex life. How to Ruin Your Love Life.
Your Love Life, Your Life, and Your Financial Life.
Right.
And I love the idea of that being a little trilogy
Dr. Drew. Praise from Caesar is praise indeed.
God bless you. This is 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll return with Ben Stein. That's right. It's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Ben Stein in studio. We're hawking books tonight. How to Ruin Your Life, Ruin Your Love Life, Ruin Your Financial Life. Get that trilogy. Modern day Hobbit, I tell you.
Yes, better.
Better. Hey, you know, P. people don't know or may not remember that I was on your show, Turn Ben Stein On.
Yes, I remember you were a very good guest. Actually, I have a photo of you in my study.
Oh, no kidding. We yes. still have a tape of singing on your show. Here it is. Remember this?
Let me... Oh, yes. Yes. I had forgotten that you are an operatic singer.
That's right. We did singing. It was the only time I've ever sung publicly, at least on
you
media.
You did fabulously well. I'm very impressed, Dr. Drew.
And you gave me that great pianist, too, to work with. I think that was awesome.
You did great.
All right. Enough of that. Enough.
Okay, enough.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
Yes, thank you. Ooh. Here's somebody who says we gave horrible advice. You want to take that one?
Oh, my gosh.
Let's first talk to Ben, who's Carly, rather, who's a junior at University of California, Santa Cruz. Carly?
I'm a junior, actually.
What did I say?
Sophomore. It's okay, then.
Sophomore. No, I think you said a junior.
What college are you?
You're both pimp. Anyways, I was at Kresge back in the day.
I know Kresge very well.
Yeah. I actually got kicked out.
Why? Was it for the chronic?
But too much partying. They got really strict at Santa Cruz.
You're
By the
kidding.
Way, they have a huge heroin problem at Santa Cruz. Huge.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not in housing any longer.
I treated 30 heroin addicts from Santa Cruz.
You're kidding.
Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Let me tell you what it was like when I used to be a teacher at UC Santa Cruz. Did you know that? And I was in Porter. It was then called College 5. We used to have every Friday night the slip and slides. Do you know about the slip and slides?
No, what's that?
Well, you know, the dorms there have long, narrow halls, and a guy named Larry Wilson would take these big, enormous sheets of plastic and make little riverbeds in the halls, and then he would fill them with warm water and mineral oil, and then we would all get naked and slip and slide around in them.
That's
and
crazy.
Then some kids would drop acid and go down to the mud baths down near Big Sur. What?
The cave?
No, down near, are they, I think they were called the Mud Baths. I don't know if they're there anymore. Down near Big Sur and watch the sunrise while tripping their brains out.
Literally.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the way it was there. In those days, when I was there, there was so much reefer being smoked that the dorm would be like in a constant haze of reefer smoke. And I was constantly going from room to room telling people to stop smoking the joint. And they would put it out, and then as soon as I left, they'd light it up again. I mean, it was just incredible. Everybody there was high all of the time.
Wow, that's weird.
I know.
Well, actually, that just relates back to what I was going to ask you, is that I know that you, well, what I've heard is that you're conservative.
Very.
So how,
except where drugs and sex are concerned.
Okay. But how did you manage to go to Santa Cruz? Like,
I didn't go. I was a teacher there, but I was the only Republican there. I was there during the 1972 election, which you don't even dimly remember. And there were 1,497 votes cast for McGovern and 3 for Nixon. One was me, one was my girlfriend, and one was a Vietnam vet. And after a while, they started persecuting me so much for being a Republican that I left and went back to Washington.
Oh, wow. You didn't like
but I do love it. I was just there less than 10 days ago. I drove up to Porter, walked across the footbridge over to the Team and Science buildings, walked down the path to McHenry Library, walked up to the art buildings, walked through the drama buildings, walked back to Porter.
Awesome. That's
at midnight,
really cool.
At midnight, while the full moon streamed down, I had a great time. It was one of the happiest nights of my life.
Wow! Oh, my God!
All right. Do you have a sex or drug question to ask?
Sorry, excuse me?
Any questions, Carly?
Do you have a sex or drug question?
No questions.
All right, well, thank you, Carly. You know what's the coolest place in Santa Cruz besides the University? Ome, which is an incredibly good Chinese restaurant.
Where is it?
It's on Bay Street, just northwest of the intersection of Mission and Bay.
Okay, I'll check it out for sure.
Right, okay, thanks, good. Have fun. Bye-bye. Okay.
And this now is, here's Shannon, who has issues with some of the advice we gave.
Hi,
Shannon, 23. Good, what's up?
Hey, yeah, the little kid that, he was sad with his dad or mom or girlfriend's parents or whatever it was.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and you told him to cut his hair, become Ivy League and whatever. What do you think? The girl liked him for being all punky. and he had anger issues, and he was all cute and whatever. Now, when he changes and she leaves him for changing into an Ivy League guy, he's going to go crazy. And
well, no, because he'll still be psycho inside.
Oh, he will. Totally.
So she'll still like him. I mean, she'll know that he's still psycho inside, and so she'll still like him.
How old is she, 15?
Well, he's 15, too. I mean, he asked us a question, Shannon. How could he improve his appeal to her parents? We answered the question. The answer clearly is not to remain as he is, because the parents detest him as he is. So that's not an option. The only option is to change.
It's not going to happen at 15. I liked your idea of a letter. I think that was really sweet. He changes his appearance. She's just like, oh, my God, all of a sudden... What is he now? You know, he's an Ivy League little guy, and it's no longer fun for her. She's 15. It's all the rebels.
She hasn't even done him. I mean, for gosh sakes, she hardly knows him. She can still learn to like him, even if he's... Look, there's many, many, many mass killers looked Ivy League, so yeah. She can still like
him. Very true. I think he's created one.
Do you still, Shannon, have such a...
John Wayne Gacy.
You still have a real immature view of man yourself?
Sure. I think I do.
How old are you, Shannon?
23.
Where do you live?
Point Richmond.
Where's that?
It's in Northern California.
Oh.
Okay.
There are a lot of calls from Northern California.
Yeah, I know. It's raining out here tonight. We have nothing else to do.
Could be that.
Well, a lot of you seem to have sex when it's raining, so you could do that.
Oh. You're thinking of sex now? You're in Southern California. You're thinking of politics?
We in Southern California think of everything.
but Shannon, I'm concerned about how you sort of perceive men and what you think about men.
Yeah, you think that they have to be bad boys in order to like them. They don't have to be bad.
No, I thought that this 15-year-old girl liked him because he was a bad boy.
I know, but he can still be a bad boy and look like a good boy. So that way he gets all the bases. He gets the parents to like him.
And by the way, you have a grave misconception, Shannon, about what it means to be a bad boy. The misperception that young women have is that that's a man that's going to be powerful and protect you, when in fact all that chaos and aggression gets turned on you. That's always the way it plays out. I'm sure you know that if you've been in these relationships.
No, I'm not attracted to bad boys. I just know that what
kind of boys
girls,
are you attracted to?
I'm attracted to girls.
Oh, interesting.
And you're from Northern California?
Yeah.
This is really incredible.
Shocking.
That is
Imagine
really rare.
That. Oh, my goodness.
Wait a second.
Never
you're attracted to girls, and you're calling up to yell at us men, and you're in Northern California. Something really wacky is going on. I'm going to guess you're a Democrat. I'm going to guess you're a Democrat. Am I right? Am I right about that? Or are you a big... Oh, no,
I'm
you're probably
a
huge fan of George...
in the political arena.
Yeah, I bet you're a big fan of George Bush.
I don't vote a straight ticket. Let's just
I bet
that.
You don't vote a straight ticket.
Does Ben want to give her a little talking to?
No, she's a Democrat.
Okay.
I can't help
All right,
you.
Fair enough. Let's go on then to Melissa, who's 27.
Ooh. Hi.
Hey, Melissa.
My question is, when I have sex, it doesn't do anything for me. It's I don't get off sexually. I mean, I don't even want to make any noise. I just want to lay there and get it over with.
Hey.
And I want to know what I can do to try to maybe change that. I mean, it's like, I don't even have the thought, really, of even wanting to have sex. I just do it because, you know, I'm in a relationship, and I know that he wants it, even though I don't really want it.
Let me ask you a question. Were you abused as a child?
A lot of what I do remember as a child, because I really, like, blocked it out, is everything bad. My mother was a meth addict.
Oh, my God.
And,
Well, small wonder you've learned to totally suppress your feelings. It must have been unbearable to have a methadone addict as your mother. I am very sorry. Yes. Melissa, is that your name?
Yes.
I am really sorry. That is a really, really tough road to hoe. I am very, very sorry.
It's true.
Yeah, she's still one to this day, and she's in her 40s.
Whoa.
I am so sorry. Where do you live?
I live in Sacramento, California.
I am so sorry, Melissa. That is awful.
And she also must have been 17 when she had you, too.
She was about, I think she had just maybe turned 18. I'm not really sure.
Was she married?
She was married to my father. He left when I was little. I guess he wasn't very nice to me anyways. He was always saying that me and my brother weren't his children. And
Melissa, you have...
family.
Melissa, you have really been through the mill. I am very, very sorry. That is really, really bad stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And when you've been really through stuff, yeah, it's awful. And I'm glad Ben is sort of offering you some
very,
empathy.
Very sorry. Yeah. Do you belong to any kind of group or therapy program where you get support?
No, I've thought about going before, but I feel like a total nut job myself mentally.
We all do, Melissa.
I feel like if I talk about it to somebody, they might go, oh, wow, she's really crazy. She needs to be talked up.
I want to give you a suggestion. You qualify very richly to be a member of Al-Anon.
Yes.
Which is an organization for people whose parents or other someone close to them, doesn't have to be a parent, is an alcoholic or drug addict. And the amount of support you will get and the amount of a comradeship and sharing of people who are telling you that they've been in the same place you're in will really bring tears to your eyes. And after you've been doing it for a while, you'll feel like you're part of a very, very big fellowship.
And please get a sponsor there and work the steps so you can learn to be close and open with another person. And then with women especially, intimacy is sort of, for many women, a necessary part of feeling sexual. And if you can't tolerate closeness, it's very hard to be sexual. On top of that, if you, again, can't regulate your emotions, one of the things that gets caught up or sort of disintegrated from your emotional system is your body. And so the body becomes disconnected. You can't feel things. You don't connect up with it. And it's very hard to feel sexual. And so it becomes very important that you do this.
May I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question. This is a serious suggestion, Melissa.
Okay.
Do you have a dog?
No.
I recommend
cat.
No, cat is the same.
Good idea.
I think you should get a good-sized dog, like a German short-haired pointer or a Dalmatian or a and hug that dog a lot, sleep in bed with that dog
like that.
And no, stop that. Stop that. Seriously, lie in bed hugging the dog, and little by little feelings of warmth and able to connect will come to you. I'm not kidding. I'm seriously not kidding.
That's actually good advice.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a obsessive compulsive when it comes to animals. I don't really like them anymore because every animal I had died of some sort of weird illness. And I get where I don't like the hair around. It's like I stress out. I have lint rollers everywhere. I don't like stains on my clothes. I mean, I went through a lot of stuff as a child, including being shoved under an oily car because my mother was like chirping out thinking that people were after her and different things like that.
Oh, God. Melissa, I am so sorry. I am really, really, really sorry. May I ask your occupation?
I'm a truck driver.
Wow.
I am really sorry. You have really been through the mill, and my heart goes out to you.
Thanks.
Do something about it, Melissa, okay?
I will, thanks.
You can. You can get better with this. You don't have to suffer with
this. Go to the 12-step meetings, and then after a while, you'll want a dog.
Let's take a break about this point. We've got someone coming up who always hooks up with married men. Like that one, don't you, Ben? That's a good one. Addicted to porn, but that's a male. You won't like that, Ben.
No,
so,
I don't want that one.
Okay, we'll go to the girl that's hooking up with married guys. All right, Ben Stein's in with us tonight. How to Ruin Your Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life, How to Ruin Your Financial Life, and it says several others. What are your other books, your other titles?
Oh, there's so many. It's insane. If they
go to
Amazon.
Stuff you want people to buy. What do you want people to buy?
I don't care if they buy it or not. I really don't. So
well, I've actually read your books. And they are very funny and very rich, and I do recommend them. So I hope people will, in fact.
Well,
I haven't read all three of them. I have not read How to Ruin Your Financial Life.
The one that people should get is called Ludes. It's about Quaalude addiction, and I think it's a pretty strong book about why people become drug addicts.
Oh, interesting.
Ludes.
1-800-LOVE-191. And we'll be right back with Ben Stein. Ben Stein in the studio tonight. Win Ben Stein's money, turn Ben Stein on, and of course, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And,
plus, I do a commentary on Sunday mornings on CBS.
Oh, no kidding. Now, tell me about that.
Well, I do that about every third week on CBS Sunday morning with Osgood. And
I love that show.
Thank you. Yeah, I get a tremendous response for that.
Oh,
and I also
nice.
Do a commentary on the stock market on Saturday mornings on Fox News.
Excellent. Okay, there you go. I knew you were out there on TV somewhere.
Yes.
We wouldn't be missing that opportunity.
Plus, I've got 10 jillion commercials for Clear Eyes.
And then you mentioned four other spokesperson
jobs. Well, I have
to
pay my living. I mean, I earn my living.
And it's not like these are horrible products. They're good.
I don't want to be a charge on the state. Okay, let's get a call from someone.
Well, they're putting money up for me right now. I want to see if it's a girl. So I want to keep you happy tonight. And there's a young male we're going to talk to first.
All right, let's do it real quick with him.
All right, Connor, who's 19.
Hello?
Hey, Connor, what's up?
What it is?
I was raped by my dad about 6 months ago.
You were what?
I was raped by my father.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
How did he pull that off with you being a full-grown man, basically?
Well, he's in the circus, in this local circus. And he has this persona, like a clown character he plays, that he calls Benny Stoofy.
Okay, this is some bogus. This is some bogus thing. Okay. Let me let him finish it? Should we let him finish it?
No.
Okay, that was too wild. All right, now we got somebody named Jody, who is 21. Jody, what's up?
Hi. I was on a dirt bike a couple weeks ago, and I crashed. And I got some really bad road rash. And I was just wondering, is it normal to get, like, an infection, like a bunch of pimples coming out? I mean, is that a normal infection, or is that something else completely?
Well, if there is infection, that needs to be treated, all right? That means a staph or a strep has gotten into
your
skin.
You mean you're having this in your pelvic area?
Actually, no, it's on my back. On my shoulder blade.
Well, why are you calling on Love Lines on your back?
You have to have a doctor take a look at this. If your abrasion has become infected, that's a very serious thing. Flesh-eating bacteria? That's how that gets going.
Oh,
so you need to go see somebody right now. I mean, like maybe tonight. Any fever, chills,
right
or anything
now.
Like that? Well, hang on. Any fever or chills, anything like that?
No, I'm completely fine otherwise.
You feel
it's
fine.
Not red around any of it at all either. And most of it,
I think you better go to the doctor right away and have him give you lots of antibiotics.
I agree. Unfortunately, one thing I've learned by doing this show is that people do not understand how to describe rashes. So red dots and all that. Where are these?
It's actually on my back. Well, basically, it's like a bunch of scrapes and stuff. I was on a dry lake bed.
I understand that you have abrasions on your back, but you called about something that's sort of an epiphenomenon, something that's around that.
Well, it reminds me of exactly like zits, like pimples.
Okay, well, I don't see what this has to do with love lines, with all due respect. greatest possible respect.
It needs to be examined by someone immediately.
Let's go to the next
pustular
call.
Reaction, again, that's infection until proven otherwise.
Let's go to the next one.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Aaron.
Aaron, what's up?
I had this girlfriend for a little while, and when she would come over, I never get any sleep because we just do it all night. But
do the wild thing.
Yeah, after about 3 or 4 days of her being here, though, like, the skin below the head of my penis was, like, dry and, like, scaling off.
That happens to me all the time.
Really?
Just kidding.
Your poor wife.
Just kidding.
So what's your question?
Well, I'm just wondering what that was, because I'm not seeing her now, just... It didn't work out, and I know she's been to the gynecologist, so I'm wondering, is that just from too frequent, or...
Yeah, it's probably basically a burn.
How old are you?
34.
34?
34? My God, you have a lot of stamina. What's your job?
You sound 15, by the way.
Thanks.
What's your job?
I work with reptiles. I work for a herpetologist.
Doing what?
I clean them and feed them and just basically haul them around to schools. And he runs an...
It's Lemony Snicket right here. This is him.
This is amazing.
No.
How old is the girlfriend?
She's 30.
I don't know what... I don't see what the problem is here. I mean, you might have an infection. You should see a doctor.
Yes, you need somebody to look at it.
I think you should be very, very grateful that you have such incredible sexual stamina.
34. I guess
that's
maybe
fantastic.
Acting, sounding and acting and living like a teenager, you keep the physiology going. Laura, 18.
Laura.
Hello?
Hey, Laura, what's
Hello.
Up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We're great.
I've recently been with a couple of guys, and all three have had the same problem, and that is that while we were doing stuff, be it sex or just, you know, fooling around with clothes on, or they've lost their erection. And I can't help but think it's me. They've all told me that they're used to having sex with condoms and, or to sex without condoms, and condoms are like preventing them from maintaining their erection.
I don't think they're lying. I think that is, I will just tell you, since I'm older than Dr. Drew, I don't know, how old are you, Dr. Drew?
47.
I'm 14 years older than Dr. Drew, that it is a commonplace among men that condoms are make them lose their erection. And I know that they're incredibly important for the prevention of sexual disease, but these guys are not lying when they're telling you that condoms take away their erection. This is not true for all men, but it is a commonplace, and I don't think they're lying to you.
I actually tell those men, because there are those guys that have this effect, that they need to, first of all, practice putting condoms on, because sometimes just the fact of stopping the rhythm of the flow of sex is enough to cause a guy to lose erection. So you got to practice putting them on quickly, but also masturbate with it on, so you get used to the feeling of it and really start to understand how, you know, what kind of stimulation needs in order to reach climax with a condom on, because it is something that guys need. As you know, they aren't going to have sex with you unless they have a condom on, right?
Now, is there something going on there? Are you, like, saying something to upset them, like, get that condom on, you loser, or something like
definitely
that?
Definitely not.
Well, are you being nice and friendly to them while you're doing the wild thing?
Most definitely.
And then they suddenly say, I'm really sorry, but...
You know, it's even in two of the occasions, you know, sex has, you know, gotten underway. And then all of a sudden, you know, switch a position or something, and it's
well,
not.
You know, you shouldn't. I wouldn't switch positions. I think that's a mistake. Why did you feel you had to switch positions?
I beg to differ. But anyway.
Maybe just to increase the pleasure for myself.
Ah. Well, see, that's where you're being selfish.
Oh, okay.
Do you have orgasm with intercourse?
I'm sorry?
Are you able to have orgasm with intercourse?
No, actually, I'm not. Kind of... learn that from you guys. I deal with it, but certain positions do feel better than others.
You're fat.
Well, why don't you try this? Why don't you not ask them to change positions? Just wait till they have reached their climax.
Yeah.
And then have them play with you till you come, and then you'll be all set, and they'll be all set.
Sounds like a plan. And I'm definitely going to suggest the masturbating thing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea for guys.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and practice putting them drilling the thing on. I mean, that's really what the guys need to do. And the whole business
right,
of it.
Have a buzzer go off three times, like a fire drill.
No, a fire
like,
actually, bell.
Put on the condom.
Fire bell.
Yeah.
They have to jump down a pole and put the thing on, go back. No, I think it's just something that guys need to sort of not
dive,
pop out
dive,
of.
Dive, like that. A klaxon sound.
But they got to actually practice this, because it is such an important thing, and it's just to cop out on it and say, well, it's not for me.
Where do
it
you
could
live?
Cost them a lot. Me? Oh, Shakora?
No, I know her.
Where do you live?
Hello?
Where do you live?
I'm in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
Okay, fine, for sure.
Yes. She doesn't know what that means, but
okay.
I do.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
All right, Ben, we got to take yet another break. Ben Stein with us tonight. The trilogy of How to Ruin Your Life, How to Ruin Your Love Life, How to Ruin Your Financial Life are the must-haves for Christmas this year, so go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can also check out more about Ben at www.benstein.com. Look for him on CBS Sunday Morning, and also on Fox News.
I was just on this past Sunday. I won't be on for a couple of weeks now.
All right, look for him on that show. That's a good show. And we'll be right back.
If you need help, call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Ben, that about does it for Loveline. Thank you very much.
Oh, I don't want it to be over.
Well, why
don't
you come back? Let's bring
you
right back. I would love to have you back soon and maybe spend a few nights with us. It'd be fun.
I would love to do that.
Excellent. So thank you so much for coming out at night.
Thank you, Dr. Drew.
I hope Loveline listeners will all show him a little love and buy some of his books, because they're well worth the investment, both of time and money. They really are. They're really full of wisdom.
Very,
and so
very kind.
I have to say goodnight at this point, Ben, and it's been good spending time with you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you to you, and I appreciate
good night
that.
And good luck.
And good night, and stay well.
Did you smoke the chronic?
Yeah.
What did you smoke? The chronic.
Huh?
Did he have a good stash?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.